Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and it is my privilege to bring you another fantastically smart person that we're all going to learn from. Her name is Jennifer Darling. She is one of the world's foremost LinkedIn experts and the only one who has more than 20 years of advertising and sales experience. She has trained thousands of salespeople, consultants, speakers, authors, and experts to maximize LinkedIn results without having to invest hours upon hours each week or to become a social media expert. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Hey, Rob, thank you so much for having me here today and for including me in being smart people.
Absolutely. You know what? I was reading your bio and it was like, yeah, this is a must have smart person. So I'm glad to have you here and glad to just have you share some of your knowledge with us. So let's just start here. Tell me a little bit about your backstory and kind of what you had. We mentioned in the intro about your background in advertising and everything. Tell me a little bit about where you came from and how you kind of had your eyes opened to the possibilities of LinkedIn.
Yeah, you got it. So I actually studied television advertising in college, and I went to sell television advertising for my job for 20 years, which is so weird because a lot of people don't study the concept or the principle or the idea of what they're going to go in for their job later, unless you're like an accountant or something. And so I started out in TV ad sales, and I did that for about 20 years. And I kind of like was getting bored doing the same old thing for so long. And I had been looking for another opportunity. And one day I got this message that popped up on my email screen, and it asked if I wanted to become a Jeffrey Gittimer certified advisor. And Gittimer had been the guy that I'd read all his books about. He's from Philly, actually. I read all his books. I got a lot of training from Gittimer in sales. And so I thought, oh my gosh, finally I figured out what I want to do when I grow up, be a Gittimer certified advisor. So I went out on that path. And what I found was I loved Gittimer's work. I loved facilitating his workshops, but I wasn't contributing my own original work. And so I joined this thing called the National Speakers Association Speakers Academy to learn how to be a professional speaker and run the business of it. And through that process, I met a guy who gave us like a quiz on how we were doing with LinkedIn and with promoting ourselves on LinkedIn. And he was shocked that I had a really, really high number, really high score. And so I was shocked too. I was like, I didn't even know this thing existed. So I went back and started looking at it. What was I doing on LinkedIn to attract an audience that I didn't even realize I was doing? And it came from those principles of advertising sales that I had been doing for 20 years. And so just little by little, Rob, I first just taught a group of friends what I was doing on LinkedIn. And then I taught like a 90-minute LinkedIn class for like $20 or something. And everybody wanted to buy it. And then I made another class and another, and it got bigger and bigger. And then I wrote a book called Increase Your Leads with LinkedIn. Ended up selling 1,500 copies right from my desk. And now I'm all the way up to anywhere from a 20-minute talk to a 3-day workshop that I do all about how to get leads and market yourself on LinkedIn.
Okay. So as a member of NSA, I'm wondering, was the guy who connected you with LinkedIn in the first, it wasn't Gerbyshek, was it?
No, he's okay. A really good friend of mine. So Phil's okay. One of my go-to guys. No, his name was Kurt. I forget his last name, but he's over in the Bay Area, West Coaster.
No problem. Well, so I just happened to, in doing my NSA stuff, Phil Gerbyshek came and did a presentation for us about LinkedIn. So whenever you're like, yeah, I heard about it through NSA. And listen, just a quick plug for anybody out there who is thinking about becoming a speaker. NSA is phenomenal. It is an organization. And you said the key to this, okay? It's about teaching you the business of being a speaker, because so many times that's the part. And I think this is a universal thing for entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are looking, they're passionate about what they do, but the business side of things is where the difficulties come in. So that's great. So you have kind of you have this LinkedIn stuff that you're doing without knowing that you're doing it. You begin to share this. So let's talk about LinkedIn and how is LinkedIn different from other social media, from Facebook, from Instagram? Like what makes LinkedIn different and makes it an effective tool for building a business?
Yeah, I think there are three things that make it different. One is the culture. So the people on LinkedIn, it is a business platform. It is not, it's a business social platform, but it's not a social platform like Facebook or Instagram where you're putting a lot of your personal stuff on there. If I'm going to put something personal on LinkedIn, I'm also going to have a business message or lesson that goes with content that I might share personally. So for example, if I was talking about my dog, I'm going to talk about my dog, but I'm going to position it in a way that has a lesson for business. So the culture there is all the talk about business. I have a friend who recently just tried to make a post about a workshop that she was doing, and she posted on a different social media platform, and the text got blocked because that other social media platform, a really big one, is not really wanting you to promote your business unless you are buying ads or you're doing it from your business page. But that's not LinkedIn. It is a business platform, and people come there to get business news and information. So that's one big difference, is the culture and why people are there.
Okay. Help me with this, because I'm on LinkedIn and I've got a bunch of connections, but sometimes I feel like all that I get on LinkedIn is extraneous, like, messages from people who are just trying to sell me stuff and who are, it's not actually building a community. It's not about building relationships. It's just about people trying to sell me stuff. How do, cause, and that bothers me. So
it bothers everybody.
Okay. I didn't think I was alone in that, but so how do you use LinkedIn as a tool, that is effective and helpful, but not sleazy and smarmy?
Yeah. So here's what I do. I never send out cold messages like that. I just don't. I bring people to me. And how I bring people to me is by doing things like this, educating people, doing podcasts, doing webinars, doing workshops. And when I'm doing that, I invite my audience to connect with me on LinkedIn, and then I give them valuable content. So for me, that means I write articles or I do videos or I make posts that is going to give them additional educational information. And when I do that, I build top of mind awareness with my audience so that they're reaching out to me, so that they're giving me leads, so that they're giving me referrals, and I never have to put cold messages out there. I'm not saying that cold messages don't work. Some people are fabulous at cold messages. I just personally, I suck at it. And I do a much better job if I am giving people value and having them come to me and give me referrals, than if I'm just sending out a whole bunch of cold messages.
Okay. And I think that makes a lot of sense, because you can do cold messages. And my experience has been that if I'm reaching out to somebody, I'm going to go, I'm looking at their LinkedIn profile, I'm checking out their website, I'm doing research on them. So it's not the same message that everyone else is getting, but,
right.
But at the same time, it's still a message from somebody that they don't know. And, you know, I've invested some time and energy into it, but the return on that isn't what it, so I think what you're talking about is really important. And this was mentioned in the intro as well, that you can spend hours and hours and hours doing stuff on LinkedIn and not get those results. And so what you're talking about is phenomenal. So, and maybe I think we've kind of started on this, but what do you think are the most effective ways? Is it doing articles? What's the best way to make that happen?
I have three principles that I focus on LinkedIn. The first one is making sure that your profile is a customer-centric profile. It should be like a marketing piece. So if somebody connects with you, you want them to go to your profile and you want to see that there's information and value there for them. It's not all about you. So even in the about section, people think the about section is to talk all about yourself. I would actually add one word to the about section, which is the word them. It should be titled about them. for marketers. Like, how can you give some value to the person who's visiting your LinkedIn profile so that they know that you understand what's going on in their world, what are the problems and challenges they're faced with, and that you might have some solutions and a call to action there. So one is the profile. The second thing I look to do is always grow my network, but I don't grow my network just by randomly reaching out to people and hitting connect all the time. I grow my network through what I call education marketing, which is, I've already touched on a little bit here, but it's through speaking, through training, through networking and virtual networking. And then I invite people to my LinkedIn audience, where then what I do is I share resources. I share valuable content, and I do those in I really don't think of it as like I do it as an article. I do it as an idea. I take an idea, a concept, and then I repurpose it in different ways. And those are in articles and a cool thing called documents, which if you go to my LinkedIn profile and connect with me, first off, you'll have to search for Jennifer Darling Speaks, because somebody else took Jennifer Darling and she won't, you know, give me the price to get it from her. But just, so find me on Jennifer Darling Speaks and go click through my activity and look at my articles. I have over 80 articles. Look at my documents. I have at least 10 documents, which are, they look like flip books. They're full of content and resources and training for people that can download and use them. I also do posts. And I do a little bit of video. I should do more video, but, you know, I have to get my hair and makeup ready for video. And working from home, I'm not doing that all the time anymore. So, you know, I can't just, I need hair and makeup. Anyway, guys don't have that problem. So I look at what's one idea or concept I can help people with, and how do I give them training and tools to do that? So right now, for example, people are struggling with creating content. So I'm writing articles and doing videos on how I go about finding content to write about or to speak about. And so that's, I'll give that out for free. I'll give that advice and knowledge for free on LinkedIn. Now, what I do with all of those, no matter if it's my profile you've gotten to, or it is any of the types of content I put out, articles, posts, videos, or documents, I always have a next step. I always have a path to working more with me. So I'll have a call to action. I'll have a link to get my ultimate profile checklist, because if they get on my ultimate profile checklist, then now they're in my email system, and every other week I send out more content and more articles. So here's what I figured happens, Rob. Is that the reason people don't receive cold messages well is because that, and at any point in time, less than 1% of your leads, cold leads, are in the market to buy your product or service. Less than 1%. So if I'm sitting at my computer and you send me a sales message of something I'm not even, it's not even on my radar, I get annoyed because you have interrupted my day to pitch slap me your thing. Yeah, I have to say that again. Pitch slap. Just make sure you got the words I used.
Yes. you hit it on the nose. It took me a second, but no, I got it. So
that's a pattern interrupter, right?
Yep.
So what I do is I just know that that's how I'm coming. That would be how I'm coming out to people with a cold message, is interrupting them when they're not even thinking about buying, which is why it comes off so weird to us. So if I was sitting at my computer and I was ready to buy a new pair of shoes from Nordstrom, and I got a message from Nordstrom saying, hey, come look at these Cole Haans, I wouldn't feel disrupted. I would be like, oh, how did they know? I must buy that right now. But that's just not reality.
Sure. What you're saying is, I mean, it's not rocket surgery. And yeah, I did say rocket surgery because that's just how I roll. But it also makes a whole lot of sense. So when it's the difference between outbound and inbound, where you have people that are coming to you. So let me ask this then, are you finding just you're building relationships with people that are buying your products and services? Is it also working for your speaking stuff? What elements of your business does it work for?
I actually think the number one element of my business that works for is referrals.
Okay. And
I get tons of referrals by putting my work out there on LinkedIn.
Okay. And those referrals go in, I'm assuming, just about every direction, because what you're establishing yourself as an expert, you're establishing yourself as a go-to resource, and however people use that in whatever market they're in, they're looking to you as the answer to that. So that makes a whole lot of sense. Let me just ask this kind of on LinkedIn. I am part of a number of groups. Okay. And I've tried to participate in the groups and tried to do stuff with them. What is your take on LinkedIn groups?
That's a great question. So my take is a mixed bag.
Okay.
And last year I built my own LinkedIn group of about 700 people. And it only took me 6 months to build a group size of 700 people. But what I noticed was I had to be the person who was making the interactions work. So if I'm heavy duty in LinkedIn, then I can get my participants in the groups to interact. But I've also been into groups where it seems like they're just crickets. Nothing happens. They could even be groups of 20,000 people, and it's just people just posting stuff. There's no like real relationships going on. So I do believe you could build your own LinkedIn group, and you could make it work and work really well if you are totally committed and dedicated to like daily effort in the group. But there are some big downsides of LinkedIn groups, and that is functionality. It is not functional in the way that it needs to be to create a community and a relationship with the people in the community. You can't go in and do a live video in your LinkedIn group because you have to be approved for LinkedIn live video anyway. You'd have to do a recorded video. There's no place to put files, or there's no place to tag pin. There's also no ability to send your members a message more than once a week. Not a message, but a notification more than once a week. You can recommend a post once a week and that's it. So if you're really somebody trying to establish and give a lot of value to people in your group, it's functionally difficult to do.
Okay. So the answer is maybe.
It is maybe. Yeah. It's possible to build a great community on LinkedIn. But also when you go and join groups, there's not a lot of activity and you end up putting a lot of time and effort into, unless you find a group that is rocking.
Right. Okay. Maybe this is too technical of a question. And that is, somebody once mentioned that about the number of posts that keep the individual on LinkedIn and the number of posts that take the individual off of LinkedIn. Do you know what I'm talking about? What you're talking about. Okay. You have articles and documents and everything that are all housed on LinkedIn. And so when you're putting things up, it's not taking them off LinkedIn to your website. It's not taking them off LinkedIn to your podcast. It's not taking them off LinkedIn for anything. It's actually keeping them on LinkedIn. Do you have any thoughts about the kind of the ratio of how to do that so that LinkedIn likes what you're doing?
Yeah. So all of my articles and all of my documents, take them off of LinkedIn. My profile takes them off of LinkedIn because everything I do, I want them on my email list and not, I want them on LinkedIn and I want them on my email because that way I have frequency in my message. And so what I do is I add my ultimate profile checklist. So ultimateprofilechecklist.com is in my featured section. Ultimateprofilechecklist.com is on the bottom of every article I have. Ultimateprofilechecklist.com is on the bottom of every document that I create. I don't put it in all of my posts. I rarely put it in my posts because I see posts for posts are for increasing my views, for increasing engagement, and the others are resources.
Okay. So what I'm hearing you say is that the goal of every document that you post, of every article that you post, is to get people off of LinkedIn and into your website. But
that's right.
You're not putting that link in the post. That link is it's secondary, so that once you are looking at the article, which is on LinkedIn, and because I mean, the brutal truth of it is LinkedIn doesn't want people leaving LinkedIn. They want people to stay there.
Of course not. Yes.
And so by posting stuff that keeps them there but has a next level, a call to action that takes them somewhere else, it makes a whole lot of sense. All right. So LinkedIn has a lot of different cool features. And you mentioned some. We talked about groups. You'd mentioned live video. There's articles, documents, everything. What would be like your list of favorite features to say these are the, I was going to say these are the coolest things on LinkedIn, but I don't want to go with cool things. I'm going with these are the most effective tools on LinkedIn to help build relationships and gather referrals and get people to follow your call to action.
They are surprisingly simple. They're so easy, yet I have personally assessed well over 500 individuals' profiles, and most people get these very simple things wrong.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Number one, the banner that's on LinkedIn on the top, you want to have a marketing message on that banner. It is your prime real estate. When I sold television advertising and digital advertising, our biggest dollars went for the banner ad at the top of our TV news website because it is the most viewed. It gets people's attention. So when you're creating a banner, just don't put a picture of something you like. Put a picture and put a message, text words that are really the marketing message for your business that is the outcomes or the results for your clients working with you. We're not talking here job seeker LinkedIn profiles. We're talking about making your profile a sales and marketing machine. So make sure you have a banner that looks like a billboard when you're driving down a busy freeway that all of your prospects will get that message.
Okay. It is extremely low-lying fruit. And I'm assuming you can go on Fiverr and get somebody to make you a phenomenal banner for relatively cheap if you don't want to do one yourself. And of course, you can do one yourself. Sometimes those look a little Mickey Mouse.
But they just don't look that great. I'm honest with you. You can create one on your own, and they do not look great. And if you want high-dollar, high-paying clients, you better have an outstanding-looking banner.
Right.
Not a cheap, chintzy one.
Okay. All right. So that you said number one, and by saying number one, I was wondering if by implication there is at least a number two as well.
Yes, there are. I'll say there are four. I'll give you four. The second one is your headline. People screw this up. What they do is they put their job title in their headline. Well, your headline is the number one most seen text of your LinkedIn profile, because every time you're posting or commenting on other people's work, it is the first 10 words of your headline that people see. So you can either say account executive, vice president of something, keynote speaker, you can either say that, or you can make a customer focused marketing statement. Increase your leads, increase your sales.
Okay.
That's a big one.
Got it. So in some ways you're taking those first 10 words and you're basically condensing what's in the about them section, and you're putting it into just the smallest way that you can make it. Is that correct?
Yeah. So think of it like if you are reading a news headline, they're going to have a short, simple headline that's going to get your attention. It's called the headline section. And then follow that, you want to have your job titles. You do want to have your job titles, but you want to position yourself differently as other people. So don't be the same by putting the same job titles. Put what's the outcome and the results of working with you. What does your ideal customer want to receive by working with you? That could be the statement that is in your headline.
Okay. All right. So you officially have now given me two things to go correct on my LinkedIn profile. And I think that you've got two more that are likely going to be added to my list as well. So let's go with number three and number four.
All right. Number three. And we're still just on the profile. Number three is the featured section. So LinkedIn has this beautiful featured section, which allows you to put many things in it. But there, you're just going to see, the visitor's just going to see really 2.5. So depending on the kind of business you're in, if you're a speaker, for example, this would be for you, Rob, you want to have your speaker demo to be the very first thing that populates in there, left to right. That's how our eyes read on the paper, in this country anyway, left to right. So you want to have a big marketing piece there. The second thing might be, for me, I have my ultimate profile checklist, because I want people to go get on my email and get that downloadable, awesome, amazing resource. And then the third thing I have is my Increase Your Leads with LinkedIn tips book. So people can click on that and go purchase my book. So it gives you the opportunity to put 2.5 very valuable pieces of multimedia marketing on your LinkedIn profile. And a lot of people don't even, they just miss it, or they might put something that doesn't even look good and it's not attractive. And we want something to get your eyeballs, get it, attract visitors and take action.
Okay. All right. So I've got 3 things to do now, and I'm absolutely certain you're going to give me a 4th, because I have put effort into LinkedIn, but what you're talking about is, it's kind of the difference between doing things yourself and having an external set of eyeballs look at it and say, here's actually what people see. Because you can put a lot of work in, and if it's not in the right place, it's not going to be effective. Right. So number 4.
All right. So number 4, and I'm waffling on which number 4 I should go, but I'm going to go with this one. Don't post and ghost. What I mean by that is, sometimes we think by giving lots of valuable content and information, we're doing our audience a favor. And you're giving them resources. But here's what happens. Often, people are going to go comment on those resources. You need to reply back. The biggest opportunity you could get is to build a relationship and have a conversation with somebody on a piece that you have created. Furthermore, go look at their stuff and comment on their stuff, and don't comment with just great idea, nice post, good job, thanks for the feedback. Think about what is you could say that's relevant to building and growing that conversation. You're gonna help yourself build a relationship and connect with your audience a lot better if they see you're present. If you have a third party scheduler scheduling all your posts and you're never coming on and commenting on anything people say, well, then we know you're not there. You're ghosting your fans.
Okay. So I was feeling really, really good at the beginning, because that's one of the things that I do is when we've got comments, every comment that is made on one of my posts, I'm going to reply to, and it's more than just saying thank you for commenting. It's trying to, whatever it is that they said, to respond to that in a way that, all right. But then, of course, there's the next level to that, which you brought out and is something I'm not doing, is going onto their post, looking for their material, and how do I interact with them and build that relationship. So phenomenal. Listen, Jennifer Darling, you have shared so much good information today. If people want to learn more about you and get your ultimate profile checklist, what's the best way to do all that?
Best way is to go to LinkedIn, search for Jennifer Darling Speaks. You'll know it's me because my banner is going to be outstanding and it's going to say create more sales, because that's what I do. And you can look at that, and you know, you can look at my about section and all that and figure it out on, take what I'm doing and duplicate it for your business. So find me on Jennifer Darling Speaks, and on my profile page, you'll see that ultimate profile checklist. Click on it and go download it.
Absolutely wonderful. And listen, I will make it easy for people. I will actually just put the link to your LinkedIn profile right in the show notes, so that people can search for you, or they just go into show notes, click and connect, and that's great. And the next thing I will be doing after we're done with this interview is sending you a connection request on LinkedIn. We'll be good to go. So Jennifer, you have shared a lot. You are indeed smart. It's now time for 3 questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these, my friend?
I am ready. I'm so ready.
All right. So what song is it that will either get you onto the dance floor every time or get you to sing karaoke, either one? What's the go-to Jennifer Darling song?
All right. So it's funny when you started to ask that question, one song popped in my mind because it's my workout song. But then you said which song would get you on the dance floor or karaoke. And that's Love Shack by the B-52s.
Oh,
I can do a great Love Shack.
Okay. you are speaking my language because your tin roof is rusted.
Rusted.
I love it. Do you have any pet peeves? Things that just annoy you beyond end.
Yes. This is so weird. So weird. I cannot stand it when people put the quotation marks before a period in a sentence.
Okay. You are the, apparently your grammar is not like dead and buried in a cemetery somewhere. Your grammar is alive and well. My dad gets me on that all the time, and I like to think I have a good reason to do it, but there obviously is never a good reason.
Well, and Facebook does it that way, and it's wrong. It's grammatically incorrect. My mother-in-law was visiting last week. She's an English major, and I said, you know, have you seen this? She's like, oh, it drives me crazy. I'm like, me too.
Excellent. Okay. So you're originally from Michigan, and mm-hmm. I'm wondering what is the regional food from Michigan that you miss the most now that you live in California? What's something that you could get in Michigan that you can't get the good equivalent in California?
Pizza.
Really?
Yes.
Tell me more. Like, was there a go-to pizza place that you had in Michigan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. One closed, but the other is called Roma Pizza. And there's one in different one in each town. You just cannot get pizza in California that tastes like the pizza in Michigan. It's so good. And it's not like Chicago style deep dish pizza. It's like its own style of pizza. But every time I go home, it will be Roma's on the list, on the weekly list of what we're going
to
get.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to put a link to Roma's pizza in the...
Perfect. They'll love it.
Yeah. As long as I can find it, we will put a link to them in there. And if anyone is in the Western Michigan area, and go check out Roma's, it'll be worth it. And I'm assuming part of the problem is out in California, they're doing too many fancy, things with their pizza, and they're just missing out on the good old unhealthy way that, you know, the pizza's got
to
be.
Yeah, that poofy crust, you know, that poof crust, like that gets the bubbles in it.
Yeah.
Big fat bubbles. So good.
It's so funny that you say that. My wife is one of those people that when you open the pizza box, her eyes immediately go around the entire crust to look for the piece with the biggest bubble. And that's where she starts.
There's no bubble pizza out here.
Oh, how sad and disappointing. So, hey, Jennifer, darling, you've been phenomenal. Thank you so much for sharing today. Folks, go connect with her on LinkedIn and learn what you can from the different articles and documents that she's got up there. For all my listeners, thank you for being here today. And I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.